We are back on another beautiful Monday here in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the show. Before we start, make sure you subscribe to the channel. I know we got people filing in still. I always forget to ask for the sub up front. A lot of my favorite creators tend to do that. I feel like absolute trash today. So let's get the vibes going just a little bit. You know, we'll see what else we got on the sound pad here. This is what I need. Let's go, baby. Another good Monday. Still feel like shit. You know what I'm saying? But that's discipline. Showing up when you don't feel like it, right? Let's grab our nuts. Wash your muffler. Get your oil changed. Get the fuck down the road. That's what I'm talking about. Jacob in the chat. Shout out Jacob. Chicago Bears. Beat the Bengals. I was waiting for Jacob to come in here. Jacob's a good fan of the show. Got to start doing some call-ins. I've been talking about that for weeks, months maybe, and still haven't set that up. So let me take the time to set up call-ins at some point. I think that would be fun. I feel like a garbage disposal today. We had team pictures for my Pop Warner kids. We got a ring for winning the Arizona State Championship. It's in my car. It's a little $30 ring, fake diamonds on it. It's beautiful. But we had pictures yesterday at 3:30 on Sunday. And you know, would I have preferred it to have been at 8 a.m., get it out of the way, have the rest of my Sunday? Yeah, I would have. But that's not the point. After the team photos, I said, I think it'd be nice to have a good, it was 4:30, I was like, I have a nice early Sunday dinner, sit down by myself, Joe Flacco style, smoke a little bit in the car in the parking lot. And I found this Mexican restaurant. Now, it's a chain Mexican restaurant. I'm not going to name them, throw them under the bus. Not like it would kill their business if I did name them. But I had eaten there once before, and I'd had a pretty good experience. But it was at a different one at a different part of town. And I go in there, and I grab a menu. I'm standing at the counter ordering. And I asked my dude, he's kind of a little sketchy. He wasn't making a ton of eye contact with me. Wasn't very conversational, just different energy to this guy. You know, and I'm not going to walk out just based on someone's energy. So I took it a step further. I said, what do you like? What do you get to eat? That was my fucking mistake right there. This guy was a bit sickly, you know, didn't have the brightest skin. You know, he wasn't glowing or nothing like that, so I probably shouldn't copy a guy's eating habits that looked the way this guy did. But I listened to him, and I got a half and half green chili chicken and bean burrito. A bunch of beans in it. And I fucking love refried beans. I love refried beans. I cut this fucking burrito up in half, man. And it just a bunch of juices just comes. I don't mean to get disgusting, but you know, the devil pulled me to the side. He had a talk with me. He said, "Man, we just spent $20 on this, man. You better eat this." And I ate it, and I'm fucked up. I'm fucked up to this very moment. I ate that thing like 24 hours ago. I am beat to hell right now for whatever reason. Haven't eaten today, which is fine. Haven't eaten. Haven't wanted to eat because my stomach's so fucked up. I probably shit like 4 or 5 times today. You know, getting this devil up out of me, this refried bean burrito. I thought it was a reputable establishment. You know, it wasn't like I was getting some damn Taco Bell. You know what I mean? It's not like I was just straight wiling. And, you know, I made the wrong choice probably, and I'm never going to go back to that spot again. I'm not going to go back again. There could be good tacos. There could be good you know, I really like quesabirria. If you guys know what that is, it's like quesadillas with the little, you put meat in them and you put the little birria. It's like au jus, Mexican au jus. That shit's good. But you're basically looking at spending, eating out anywhere, at least in Phoenix these days, you're spending $20 to eat. Minimum, $20 to eat. And most of these restaurants I go to, man, I try to venture out on the weekends. I try to go and have a nice meal out once a week. But my food is just so much goddamn better. It tastes better. The ingredients are better. I don't feel like ass. I ate this burrito about 24 hours ago. And by about 9 p.m., you know that feeling when you eat something too salty? Like you eat a pizza, you eat something too salty, and you get this feeling like it starts right here in the back of your throat, and it goes down your neck to your upper chest, and it's like this, like, as feeling, you know what I mean? That's how you feel. It sucks, and that's when you know, I ate something fucked. I ate something that my shit is not agreeing with. So, yeah, I should have just trashed that fucking burrito yesterday, but I didn't. I'm here now, little workout, pushed through a workout a couple minutes ago, hopped on the assault bike, trying to get rounds. So I got the heavy bag, and then I got the assault bike. And so what I'll do when I'm trying to push real hard is you get on the assault bike and you just try to get to half a mile as quick as you can. So for me, it's like a minute 20 of going hard. And then you hop off that and you jump on the heavy bag for 2 minutes. I just started this routine, so I'm trying to build up, see how many rounds I can get to before I'm gassed. And right now I'm at four rounds. So half a mile on the assault bike, hop on 2 minutes on the heavy bag, and then get back on the assault bike, hit another half mile, rinse and repeat four times. So tomorrow we'll probably try to get five, et cetera, et cetera. So tried to get one of those, man, just freaking pushing, man. Pushing, trying to get all this evil up out of me. Some of this food you eat, man, it'll take probably 48 hours sometimes. Sometimes you feel the effects of bad food 72 hours after you eat it. Paul Check said that shit. Hello to Brunilda Zata. Thank you for hopping in here. Okay, we've got some football to cover. Joe Burrow being talked about today. Jonathan Taylor, MVP in my mind. It's a quarterback award, so he's not going to get it. He should. College football. The list goes on and on. We're going to nail all of it here. Today, I did my best job to listen to the games as much as I can. Listening to Red Zone is like being shit-faced at a football game. You were there, but you kind of weren't. Okay, so like I said, I was out on the move, just kind of been doing my best to take a seat and just watch at least a couple of games, like keep an eye on a couple of the early games. And then by the time the early games are over, I start to get a little anxiety. I got to get out of the house. I used to be able to sit on the couch from the start of the early slate to the end of Sunday Night Football. It's not something I could do anymore. I get too anxious. I get, I start to scratch my neck. I want to get out in the streets. I want to cause a little chaos. You know what I'm saying? So I can't really sit through a whole day of football anymore. I got to listen to it when we get into the afternoon phases. And so followed a couple of these games pretty close in the early window. Not as many in the late window. We had a lot of blowouts in the late window. So it was a good late window to miss, but we'll start with this. Joe Burrow told Jay Glazer he expects to be back by Thanksgiving. This is from Ari Mayrov, which is week 13, when they play on Thanksgiving night versus the Ravens. And Jay Glazer says Thanksgiving-ish, not by Thanksgiving, that Joe Burrow could be back. They just cleared him to practice. He practiced in a limited capacity today, Joe Burrow did. And I'd be a lot more excited about this news if we had won these last two games like we should have. Now, the Bears are a good team. I don't know if Jacob's a fan of the show. He's a Bears fan. I don't know if Jacob's still in the chat, but the Bears are a good freaking team. They squeak out another tough win yesterday. These guys are completely renewed under Ben Johnson here, man. Completely a new team, new organization under Ben Johnson. That was a great hire by them. He's by far the best young head coaching talent in the NFL. Brian Daboll, as you guys know, got fired this morning from New York after starting 2-8. I didn't realize that their record was that bad until I saw that headline that he got fired this morning. I watch every time I watch this Giants team, they play pretty hard. And things might have changed the last couple weeks. I didn't really watch them play yesterday or the week before, for that matter. And early in the season, they were humming. I mean, rest in peace to the exciting whites, man. The only one left standing is Jackson Dart. You got Scataboo out. Dable's gone. And the only exciting white that remains in the Meadowlands is Mr. Jackson Dart. So Brian Daboll out, 2-8 start. I had no idea the record was that bad until this morning. So I think he's the second coach in the league to get fired this year, Brian Daboll, behind Brian Callahan, who got fired months ago at this point. Not months ago, like a month ago. So there's that. Burrow, look, here's the deal. Speaking of coaches that should get fired, I mean, Zach Taylor, that's an obvious one, but Bengals organization is not going to make any changes. And so there's news that Joe Burrow comes back. There's some Bengals fans online that are thinking, oh, we can still do it. And Joe went up to the press today and he said that the North is as wide open as it's ever been, something we've been saying on the show for months. And he also thinks that the only way that the Bengals could make it to the playoffs would be by winning the division. Those wild card spots are not going to be for Cincinnati. And I agree with that. And obviously, he knows better than anybody. He's probably following that more than anybody. But rehab's on point. Joe Burrow, one of the greatest competitors that our game knows today. Who would be surprised that he would be ahead of schedule on his rehab? He said that the rehab for both his wrist and his knee was much tougher than the rehab for this toe, Joe Burrow did. What other stuff was there that I wanted to hit on before I jump into the outline here? Okay. Here's the thing. And it's on the thumbnail. It's something we need to talk about. It's something we've talked about before on the show about the MVP race being a best quarterback contest, because that's what it is. If we want to bring some excitement back around these awards, I get that guys, they get. And here's the other thing that's kind of unfair about this MVP being a QB only award. QBs make the most money as it is. You get a ton of bonuses when you win an MVP. I'm not sure how much you get. It's probably worked into each team's contract differently. But you're looking at an extra couple million bucks winning that MVP. I'll tell you that you got to report on your annual income. You get a couple extra milli for sure. You got to check out my Titans Cup. This is from LP Field back when it was LP Field in Nashville down there. No longer LP Field, Nissan Stadium. But this is an old coffee cup from the, as a little souvenir mug. I remember when I got this mug, it was a cold-ass game, meaningless game in January in Nashville. I think they were playing Jacksonville. It was a shitty game, but it was a fun core memory, cold game that was. Okay. Where was I with this? The MVP race, okay? Matthew Stafford, great candidate for MVP. Sam Darnold, great candidate for MVP. Lamar Jackson, great candidate for MVP, even though he hadn't even really played that much yet. He's the way he's playing is looking at an MVP caliber here. The Ravens are making their way back. They are now favored to win this AFC North after Pittsburgh loses to the Chargers on Sunday Night Football, and they lose resoundingly. Pittsburgh looked bad. Their offense looked bad against the Chargers. I think it's more the game last night, that Sunday night game, was more a testament against the Steelers than it was for the Chargers. So now we look at the Baltimore Ravens, who started this season out hopelessly. No hope. They were fixing to go 1-6. They start 1-5. They've now won three straight since Lamar's come back. And at 4-5, they are the clear favorite to win this AFC North division. I said this last week on the pod. This is going to continue to be a theme on the show the next couple of weeks. November is the best time of the year, not just in football, but in all of sports. I was sitting there last night letting this burrito from hell coagulate in my gut, waiting for Sunday Night Football to start. It was about 5:20 here. And I flipped from college basketball to hockey to NBA basketball and kept myself occupied for that hour between the late slate ending, the afternoon slate ending, and Sunday Night Football starting. If we went back a week or two, we'd have baseball too. There's that small window in the year where you have all these sports going on, and it's late October, early November. It's the best time of the year to be a sports fan. But Pittsburgh got their ass beat on Sunday Night Football. I don't know if you guys saw when Jalen Warren got tackled by his undershirt and he had his undershirt like hugging around his butt for a series or two. They finally fixed it, I think. But it was kind of bugging me a little bit, the way it looked. It looked like it was maybe affecting the way Jalen Warren was toting the rock. So let's go back to the MVP race. So candidates here, and it's all quarterbacks other than Jonathan Taylor. Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Jonathan Taylor. And they're all having legit seasons. I mean, shit, Colts keep winning. Daniel Jones will probably be in that discussion as well. Drake May will probably sneak in that discussion. I saw a graphic about him being MVP yesterday, Drake May. And I'm like, was the writing not on the wall that Vrabel was going to come into New England and be perfect? Was the writing not on the wall? If you get time, go back in this podcast. Go back to when Mike Vrabel got hired as the Patriots head coach. We've been saying it's a perfect fit ever since he got hired. They hit a home run. It's easy to say that. They sit at 8-2, but they continue to cruise. They continue to cruise. So MVP conversation to me, Matt Stafford, I think is the best candidate in there because it's a fucking quarterback award. Look, best quarterback candidate is Matt Stafford. The guy that deserves it is Jonathan Taylor. The guy that deserves, I can't stand when these freaking balloons come up on my screen. I don't know how to disable it, and my streaming software, it really pisses me off. Jonathan Taylor deserves an MVP award. It's very clear. But he's not going to get it because it's a quarterback award. There should be a quarterback of the year award, and they should be disqualified from getting MVP. Make the quarterback of the year award as prestigious. Hell, make it more prestigious if you want than MVP. I don't care. But the MVP race has got to be democratized a bit. We've got to see some other position players winning MVP. Maybe it's a defensive player. When's the last time a defensive player won an MVP? I know a lot of MVPs that were defensive players. I don't know a lot of defensive players that have an MVP. Matt Stafford, I think he's the first player in NFL history to have three consecutive games with four more touchdown passes and no picks Congrats to Matt Stafford on that. He's playing great. And look, this just goes to show when you give your play caller, Sean McVay, some time. I know Sean McVay had some early success in L.A. They got a Super Bowl on my Bengals. I think they made another Super Bowl against New England, beaten by Tom Brady. So Sean McVay got his stay early on in L.A. That was great. Sean McVay got his stay early on in L.A. And now he's had, what, 6-7 years with Matt Stafford? They know what each of them is thinking. Matt Stafford knows what Sean's thinking. Sean knows what Matthew Stafford is thinking. And they dial up the best shit. That's what's going on in L.A. It's very simple. NFL, not for long, but for these guys, they've been together long enough to have the best chemistry between a quarterback and a play caller in the entirety of pro football. And they dominated San Francisco. They beat the hell out of San Francisco, over 400 total yards of offense. Second half play calling by Sean McVay was absolutely beautiful. And they had three straight scoring drives against a really good defense. Beaten up defense, but still an elite defense in my mind. We mentioned Jonathan Taylor. He's breaking records. He's already broken Edgerrin James's franchise touchdown record in Indy. Has Jonathan Taylor. He has 32 carries, 244 yards, three touchdowns, 7.6 yards per carry had Jonathan Taylor against Atlanta in Berlin yesterday. He's number one all time in touchdowns. How long has he been there? 5 years? Not too long. He's already broken the fucking record. Lamar and the Ravens. We mentioned them. Look, these are all MVP caliber guys. Ravens are pulling. They pulled away from the Vikings. It didn't really ever seem like there was a chance that Minnesota was going to win this game at home. Minnesota, not the easiest place to play by any means. J.J. McCarthy, with his alter ego, didn't look so hot, didn't look so great. He got a lot of jokes that he was the butt of on Twitter, did J.J. McCarthy, after that whole alter ego nine conversation. Everyone thought it was corny, and he goes out and lays an egg. Maybe that internet talk was weighing on him a bit, but also, Baltimore, they know that the AFC North is wide open. They know that they are going to be in the driver's seat if they continue to play the way that they play. Nobody else in the AFC North is proving themselves to be worth a damn right now. And then the conversation goes back to Joe Burrow. My take on Joe Burrow being back, a lot of Bengals fans are excited about this today. I think it's expected a competitor like Joe Burrow makes it back as fast as he's fixing to make it back. And I think it's great. But can Joe Burrow also make tackles? No, he can't. And it'd be really easy for me to say that, well, Baltimore had the worst defense and they turned it around. They got their starting quarterback back and they turned it around. That'd be a really optimistic way to look at it. I'd love to be able to look at it that way. The shortfalls of the Cincinnati Bengals are coming to light. They don't run their organization like any other team in the league. There's 31 other teams, and Cincinnati is not like any of them. So, am I happy for Burrow? Yes. Will I be excited to see him back on the field? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to change the outlook of the season? Absolutely not. I think it'll be really great for Burrow to have Flacco in a quarterback room. In fact, I think they should sign Flacco to an extension and let him finish his career in Cincinnati shooting the breeze in the quarterback room with Joey Burrow. I think that would be incredible for the Bengals. But we cannot, dude. This is the remedy for the Bengals. You guys want to hear the remedy for the Bengals? The first remedy would be that the ownership starts outsourcing football decisions. Be a real CEO. Acknowledge that this thing of evaluating talent is not what you are good at as an ownership group. Mike Brown, Katie Blackburn, Duke Tobin. It's not what you guys are good at. You guys aren't good at picking players. We've wasted 11 top three-round draft picks in the last 4 years. We've wasted so many picks on defense the last couple years. We cannot draft defensive players in Cincinnati. So, the first remedy is outsource all the decisions to people that can evaluate talent and draft. That would be actually a longer-term solution than the second solution for the Cincinnati Bengals. The second solution for the Cincinnati Bengals, stop drafting defensive players and be aggressive in free agency. Now, all of those ships for this season have sailed. And I would guess if they were going to do anything different, it would be the latter, because the egos of the ownership group and the Brown family tree, Duke Tobin's under that, in general, have demonstrated that they're very egotistical, and they say that titles don't mean anything to them. I think they mean a lot to them. If you got to say titles don't matter to us, they probably matter. And the Bengals have never been historically aggressive in free agency. I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point, because I think the Bengals season's over. Regardless of if Joe comes back by Thanksgiving or not. Now, do they have everything in front of them in the division? Technically, yes. They're 2-0 in the division right now. They're coming into a game in Pittsburgh. Oh, man. I'll tell you guys right now, if the Cincinnati Bengals go into Pittsburgh and win on Sunday, this whole fan base is going to be buzzing again, and they're all going to be hopeful again. I just, for the life of me, for the emotional stability, I cannot justify buying back into this franchise until they make some changes. I can't do it. But if you look at it on paper for Cincinnati, you somehow go into Pittsburgh and get a couple stops and keep the momentum rolling on offense, you're 3-0 in the division. Cincinnati beating Pittsburgh on Sunday effectively eliminates potentially any chance of Pittsburgh making it to the playoffs if they get swept by Cincinnati. That might be aggressive to say. They could get a wild card spot. If Cincinnati goes into Pittsburgh and beats Pittsburgh this weekend, their chance to win the North is effectively gone. I don't think you could question that in any capacity. So would they be able to get a wild card spot? It's tough. You got a strong AFC West. You got arguably three teams in the AFC West that are going to deserve to make the playoffs. The AFC East, you'll have New England, Buffalo, so that's two. The AFC South, pretty bad. The only deserving team in AFC South is Indy to make it to the postseason. Maybe Jacksonville keeps themselves in that conversation. They lost a brutal game yesterday. Brutal game. Roaring comeback led by Davis Mills. I tuned in when Houston was down 19. And they end up winning by a bit more than they should. They have a little touchdown by former Bengal Sheldon Rankins. But that was a wild game called by J.J. Watt. What else do we have? I went off on a tangent with that Lamar Jackson talk, didn't I? Anytime we're going to talk about the AFC North, I'm going to find a way to make it about the Bengals. Yeah, I think Sam Darnold's deserving of the MVP at this point. Seattle's humming. Seattle might be one of the sneaky best teams in the league. You got two of the sneaky best teams in the league in the NFC West, in L.A. Rams and Seattle Seahawks. Again, here's some hot takes. If Jonathan Taylor wins MVP while playing for the Colts, does that change how we talk about NFL awards? I think if a quarterback wins MVP this year over someone like Jonathan Taylor, then we have to change the discussion around MVP awards. We have to find an award just as prestigious as MVP, if not more prestigious. Quarterback of the year, I don't know what a quarterback-specific award that maybe eliminates quarterbacks to be able to win the MVP so that you can democratize that shit a little bit. Give some linebackers some love. Give some running backs some love. Maybe a receiver. You know? I think they got to change some type of conversation they're having with the MVP award because it's a quarterback every year. It's a quarterback award. If it's a quarterback award, just say that too. You know what I mean? Matthew Stafford has, here's the next hot take prompt. Matthew Stafford has 4 touchdowns 3 weeks in a row. At what point is this not just volume stats, but actual elite play? I'm not even going to entertain that. That's a stupid-ass question. Are the Rams now legitimate playoff contenders if this offensive output is sustainable? They've been fucking playoff contenders. What is this outline today? You guys know this if you're a fan of the show. I use AI to generate some outlines to keep us going on this solo program. It generates hot takes for me. And we talk about the hot takes. And today, some of these hot takes are just retarded. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure I could say that on YouTube anymore, but I'm going to say it. They're retarded. Are the Rams now legitimate playoff contenders? Yes. Yes, dude. It's one of the sneaky best teams in the league. Ridiculous. Okay. Patriots coaching revolution. I watched a little bit of this game. Look, very fun game this was. New England at Tampa Bay. New England playing great under Mike Vrabel. Look, he took over there, and now they're 8-2. They're leading the AFC East by a mile at this point with Buffalo losing to Miami yesterday. Coaching matters. That's what I'm saying. And the thing about it is like, some people say it takes time to build a culture. It takes time to do this. It takes time to get players going for you, this, that, and the third. Sometimes in the NFL, when something works, it happens. It freaking happens. And this is a match made in heaven. We've been saying this on the podcast for years, if not years, for months, since Vrabel got hired in New England. It's a perfect fit. What do we got here? Patriots swept the NFC South. Now, the NFC South, a bit weak, right? Carolina, they've shown sparks. They lose to New Orleans yesterday. Tyler Shuck played great. And then you got Atlanta, who looked like they were a really great football team when they beat Buffalo. Not so much. They gave Indy a scare in Germany to start the day yesterday. Indy finds a way to figure it out. And I was really impressed with Indy against Atlanta because it seemed like one of the first knockdown, drag-out games that Indy had with an opponent that they're clearly superior to, but had to grind it out. And they found a way to grind it out when they had to. They found a way to get stops when they had to. Sauce Gardner looked a bit shaky at times for Indy. Obviously, the guy's got to take a couple of weeks to let that playbook coagulate and really integrate himself into that defense in a seamless fashion. But he's such a great player that he was expected to pick up and be functional a couple days after getting traded over there. I don't know how the hell they got him to Germany or what that trip looked like. That's got to be a whirlwind for Sauce Gardner. You get traded. You got to move all your shit from New York to Indy. And, oh, yeah, we got a game in Germany this weekend that we expect you to play in. That's crazy. So more talking points about the Patriots. Post-game assessment. Vrabel literally greeted every single player coming into the locker room yelling NFC South champs. What changed from last year? Belichick and Kraft were struggling a couple years back when Belichick exited. Mayo got hired and was a disaster, and now Vrabel brings culture and discipline back. I think it's a tough thing to do. I think coaching is the hardest it's ever been with the way players are these days, social media, the money that's coming to the sport. It's, I think it's a completely different game coaching than it maybe was in the 70s and 80s. But at the same time, coaches like Vrabel kind of bring that grit back, and players accept it and they adhere to it. So it takes a special kind of leader. Dan Campbell, similar kind of guy, I would imagine. Alpha, former player, been there, done that. For that organization, by the way. And guys listen to him. They're militant, but they listen to him. Vrabel played for 16 years in the league. He talks to players like former pros, not from a distance. This resonates with them, okay? Kind of basically what we just said. Everyone said the Patriots window was closed. Good coaching can bridge talent gaps faster than people think. And they are built to win in cold weather. That's truth. Okay, here's our hot takes for this situation. See if they're good or see if they're terrible. Is Mike Vrabel already a top five NFL head coach based on this season alone? What does top five NFL head coach mean? If we're talking about most buzz, most momentum, that's pretty easy. If we're talking about potential, I'd say, yeah. That's a pretty easy one. If the Patriots make the playoffs as a 9-8 or 10-7 team, does Vrabel get coach of the year? So that would mean they would have to lose six of their last seven to go 9-8. I don't really see that. Barring some kind of historic collapse or some sort of wizardry that somebody finds on film with the Patriots to game plan for them, I don't see. I mean, it's happened before. Six out of the last seven. I just don't see that happening. Or five out of the last seven. That would have to happen in order for them to go 10-7. Would he still get coach of the year? Absolutely not. If they dropped six of the last seven or five of the last seven, there's no way he wins coach of the year. The momentum would be against him at that point. Can the Patriots sustain this if the QB situation doesn't improve dramatically? Let's move on. Buffalo, they got their ass kicked by Miami, and I told my buddy this yesterday. Look, these division games, you have no idea what's going to happen. These organizations, they're so familiar with each other. You never know what's going to happen. It could be the best team in the league versus the worst team in the league, first versus 32nd. And if they're division opponents, you have to add some level of uncertainty to the mix. It just, even when the Bengals were humming 2-3 years ago at the mountaintop and they played the Browns, it was always a tough, tough, tough game. People didn't think New Orleans would probably beat the Panthers yesterday. They beat them pretty resoundingly. People didn't think the Miami Dolphins would even sniff the idea of beating the Bills, and they beat them resoundingly. Buffalo lost 31-24? Sometimes they get these scores wrong on here. They beat Kansas City. Yeah, so Buffalo beat Kansas City last week and looked elite. That is true. Now question about roster construction and in-season decision-making emerged. So the question is today, after Buffalo loses to their division opponent, Miami Dolphins, who are obviously inferior, the question for the Buffalo Bills is, should they have added some help at the trade deadline? I know that I've heard Buffalo has needed help on their pass rushing. They needed help in their receiver core potentially. I think they still have a great group of guys, but there's no clear, most of those guys in the receiver room in Buffalo would probably be a two on other teams. Let's just be real. Keon Coleman, great player, probably a two on most teams. Khalil Shakir, great player, reliable as all get out, probably a two on most teams. Josh Palmer, great player, probably a two on most teams. So a lot of people are asking, why didn't the Buffalo Bills go out before the trade deadline and try to get some help in the pass rush, try to get some help in the receiver room? Probably because they couldn't find the right deal. I bet I'd be shocked if they didn't look. Buffalo's a good organization. We are seeing some of their flaws out on the field in real time. They looked horrible. They looked horrible yesterday. Achane was running all over him. They couldn't stop the run. Josh Allen, a couple flashes at times, but inconsistent. He turned the ball over twice, I think. 306 passing yards, two touchdowns, but two turnovers. And again, pass rush help, receivers, we covered that. McDermott, is he getting a little heat? Fire McDermott was trending after their loss yesterday. Interesting. 3 weeks ago, they were calling for him to get an extension. They wanted to give him a bag. Now they think he's part of Al-Qaeda, Sean McDermott. It was a rainy game yesterday. Look, rainy division game, man. You don't know what's going to happen. People probably lost a ton of money betting that Bills-Dolphins game. Stuff happens in division games. It does not matter. I don't really bet in general anymore, but I definitely don't bet division games. And if I bet division games, I'm going against the public because that's what's been trending this year. I haven't made a bet in a hot minute. Yeah, the larger issue. Bills make zero trades at the deadline despite huge deficiencies in so many areas. I'd say pass rush receivers. What other areas do they have deficiency in? I think they got a good offensive line. I think they got a great back. They've got a solid defense. They do have some old guys on that defense, I will say. Miami gets rid of their GM, changes the vibe. I don't know what that means, and now they're competitive. Sometimes culture change matters more than roster moves. I saw a picture yesterday. There was some Bills bar down in Miami, I guess, and Mike McDaniel pulled up to it in his Rolls Royce or whatever, trying to flex, trying to stunt, being a little petty with the Bills. That's got to feel good for Miami. They were in such a tough spot a couple weeks back, and they get a huge win over a division opponent. I think it was the first time that Buffalo had trailed to Miami like that at halftime since like 2011. Interesting game that was. Shocking game. Definitely the most shocking game of the early window. So, what are our hot takes for this one? We're already at 44 minutes. Golly. I felt like crap when I started this podcast. You guys helped make me feel better. I'm tip-top Magoo now, baby. Appreciate y'all. Everybody in here, thank you. Hot take prompts. Was it a mistake for Buffalo not to trade for help at the deadline? I'd say, yeah. But none of us are in those rooms. None of us are on those phone calls. It seemed like teams had egregious asking prices for their top players this trade cycle. So I'm sure Buffalo called around. I've never been on a phone call like that where you're trying to close a deal on a guy, you know. How much longer is Sean McDermott's leash in Buffalo? I think that's an interesting one because they haven't sniffed the Super Bowl yet. They've been great for a couple years. They've been really good a couple years, the last 4 or 5 years. But they haven't gotten close to Super Bowl. And this fan base expects Super Bowls, even though they haven't won one yet. They should expect Super Bowls. And Buffalo deserves a Super Bowl at some point. I'm not going to lie. I hope their fans would be cool about it. Some of them seem kind of insufferable online, but I've hung out with them before. They're a cool fan base. It's a really cool town. I love Buffalo. So I think if you go 2 or 3 years more without any kind of Super Bowl contention, it might be tough to argue for Sean McDermott at that point in Buffalo. I think he's 2 or 3 years out, though. He's had good teams. Is Miami actually good now, or just catching a window? They play a division opponent. It's a different game. I think this is the same Miami team. Division games are different in NFL, man. They just are different. Okay. Ravens proving continuity matters. Ravens, they've won three in a row. Lamar Jackson's playing great. And everybody's talking about building around a QB correctly. I mean, people were just on this Ravens defense's case 3 weeks ago. You know, I'm not, look, it's you're seeing a similar narrative about the Ravens that a couple weeks ago when they started 1-5, the same narrative with them is kind of what you're seeing with the Bengals now. And this might be the reason some Bengals fans are excited about the news that Joe Burrow is practicing today. Is that a guy like that can affect both sides of the ball by his mere presence in the game. This Ravens defense, 3 weeks ago, people were calling for their head, you know? 3 weeks ago, they were saying the Ravens season's doomed if they go 1-6. Their defense is terrible. They can't stop anybody. And now Lamar's back. They win three in a row. Would it be fair to say that Lamar's presence as active for the Ravens helps the defense in Baltimore play? And could Joe Burrow coming back have a similar effect on the Bengals defense? And we just see a delayed version of what's going on with the Ravens. Whew. Again, it's that makes me insane. It makes me want to get hopeful again for the Bengals, but I will not buy in. My heart can't handle it. My little old heart, it just can't. Okay. Yeah, and we're ahead of the goddamn outline here. It says right here, when Lamar plays at this level, the entire team elevates. What about Cincinnati? All these games from last year, man, all these Bengals games, the way they ended, magnificent performances on offense every game. We're seeing it again this year. The defense just cannot get a single stop. Oh, man. December football might be real. I know it's going to be really interesting. We're blessed to be experiencing it. We're blessed to be here in the Lord's year of 2025 experiencing NFL football, because I do not know what in the shit is going to happen over these next 3 months. I do not know. Because we got November, December, January. Yep, 3 months. Wow. It says here, if the Ravens stay healthy, they're a real Super Bowl threat, despite recent struggles. Can you guys remember that first 6 weeks of the year? Can you guys remember that, man? What people were saying about the Ravens, and now we're talking about Super Bowl. This is the most wide open season in the NFL that I've ever seen. Ever. And I don't know how I feel about it, because it's fun when you have that dominant team in the mix. Look, and I thought this yesterday too, Indy and New England being the cream of the AFC is back. It's back. We're back to 2007, boys. We're back to 2008. We're back to the good days. Indy and New England are back in power in the AFC. Who would have thunk it? Even last year, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? That's insane. Texans comeback masterclass. It says they were down 26-0. Were they? I didn't watch the early part of that Texans-Jags game. Were the Houston Texans down 26-0? I know they were down 19. They come back to win. This says that that doesn't happen in the modern NFL. What is the modern NFL? I'm not sure if I could define that. If somebody said, what is the modern NFL? I'd be like, well, it's NFL. Davis Mills, look, I was at my boy's wedding in Tampa, Florida. My best bud. And I was standing at the bar. This was in April. And a guy walks up next to me. I look at him. I'm like, you're Davis Mills. It's my boy's cousin, baby. Davis Mills. I had to text my buddy's dad yesterday, Dan Sr. I texted Dan Sr. I said, Davis fucking Mills. He leads the comeback against Jacksonville. You can't ever, I mean, the Jags, on the part of the Jags, look, it's inexcusable. You can't ever let this happen in the NFL. From what I understand, 26-point comeback. It looked to be cinched up. Jacksonville had a chance to go. They have a much better record than I thought they had. They had a chance to be like, how many games we played? We played 10. They had a chance to be like 7-3 or 6-4 or something. I think they dropped to, let me see, man. God damn it. Jaguars. What's their record? Five and four. So they had a chance to go 6-3. I thought that was a way better record at the end of that game I saw than I thought Jacksonville had. Man, does this loss cost them playoff seeding? Arguably. I definitely argue that. I mean, you can't let that happen. And the eye test just tells you. I think this is why I thought Jacksonville had a worse record than they do. The eye test tells you that they don't look like a playoff team. I can't explain it further than that. I can't take them serious as a playoff team. It's definitely why I thought their record was worse than it is. And for Houston, you know, I texted my buddy. He works in the ticket sales office for the Texans. I texted him yesterday, big win. Does this save their season? You know, this Houston Texans organization, they had some juice behind them. I saw some Texans fans tweeting to yesterday how they wanted to douse themselves in some Texas oil gasoline and light themselves on fire because they were championship contenders the last couple seasons, and now it looked grim for them. And this guy tweeted this in the game when he felt like Jacksonville was cinched up yesterday. They ended up coming back and winning. Is that a season-defining, season-saving win for Houston? It could be. D'Amico Ryans, another former player that played at that organization that seems to have that organization in a good place. A lot of people weren't taking the Texans serious the last couple weeks, if not for the entire season. His play of C.J. Stroud's downgraded. And then you have somebody, you have Davis Mills, who I'm standing at a bar in April at a wedding. Fast forward to November, and he might be the answer for this Houston Texans team right now. I know it's crazy to say that off one game. Hot take prompts. Is this the worst loss we've seen all season by a winning team? Yes. Does the Texans comeback change your playoff outlook for the AFC South? The Colts have the South cinched up, so the Texans are going to have to find a way into a wild card spot if they want to make the playoffs. I think the Texans, they're going to need help. When we get down to it, if the Texans are in the mix, I think they're going to need help in order to get one of those wild card spots. You're going to have a team from the AFC West in one of those wild card spots. I think there's two wild card spots, right? Two wild cards. You're going to have to Kansas City's going to get one of those, and then the Chargers might get one of those. You might have the AFC West taking up the entire wild card picture. How many wild card spots are there? I should know that. Okay, there's three wild cards in each conference. So you're going to have two wild card definitely locked up. I think the Chargers keep playing the way they do. They lock up a wild card. The Chiefs is the Chiefs. So if Denver wins AFC West, you're probably going to see two wild cards used on the AFC West. Now, that last wild card spot could be up for grabs. Could it be Pittsburgh? Could it be, let's think, AFC South? Could it be Houston? Could it be Jacksonville? Could Jacksonville get back over the hump after a terrible loss? I don't think they will, but they could be, mathematically. So you got that last AFC wildcard spot. You got two from the AFC South that could. You got Pittsburgh. I don't think Cincinnati's got a chance, but mathematically, still in play. AFC East, Buffalo might need that spot. You know, Buffalo, I think, is probably the most likely to take that third AFC wildcard spot if everything ended today. Because the Patriots, they got the AFC East cinched up right now. Colts have the AFC South cinched up. The only division that's not really cinched up is AFC North. South cinched up. East is cinched up, it looks. West looks to be cinched up if Denver continues to squeeze out these ugly wins. So the wild card is going to be the real conversation. And I think it's that last wild card spot that's going to be the real conversation. Because I think you give those first two wild card spots to AFC West teams right now. Barring a catastrophic collapse by the Chargers, their two best tackles are gone. They still played great last night. Okay, we're at about 57 minutes. Another segment. I don't know if we'll get into this, but Caleb Williams and the Bears, fourth quarter Warriors, or inconsistent talent. It says here, and I didn't watch this game. It says here, I saw it was a snowy game in Chicago yesterday. I know the Jets beat Cleveland. Sorry for the noise. Chicago played New York, and that's what got Brian Daboll fired. It was a snowy game. Horrible for three quarters. A lead in the fourth quarter. They stage a big comeback. Does Chicago. Commentary noted in this game, from what I'm reading, that Caleb Williams' demeanor was different in the fourth quarter. Seems like he was turned on a bit. He had some blood flowing. He was acting a little different. Ben Johnson doing something right. I mentioned that. And they got, what are they, 6-3? Chicago? I mean, is this a playoff team with Caleb Williams at the helm? Is this really a playoff team? I don't know. And we talked about the Colts. I'm kind of running out of steam, boys and girls. We are in an hour, and I want to get you guys on with your evening. But I talked about Jonathan Taylor. I think he's a clear cut for what should win the MVP. But it's going to go to a quarterback, and Jonathan Taylor deserves to be the MVP. I hope he wins it. But if this year's anything like all the other years, a quarterback's going to win the MVP, and Jonathan Taylor will just be stuck with Opoi. Okay, we covered a stat line. It's an MVP stat line. 32 carries, 244 yards, 3 touchdowns. He broke the all-time Colts rushing touchdown record. For God's sake, this guy's an MVP. Can the Colts go to the Super Bowl if Taylor keeps performing at this level? Yes, his hot takes are terrible today. Does a dominant running back mean more in the playoffs than in regular season? Yes, this is so dumb. Aaron Rodgers had his worst performance ever. We covered that Sunday night game. What else? We got Monday Night Football tonight, Eagles versus Packers. Should be a good one. It's probably going to start here in about an hour. Give me the Eagles in this one. I don't know. Let's see. Tonight's Monday night game. Important for both teams. This is a rematch of the Brazil game from last year. Eagles favored, but shouldn't overlook Green Bay's ability to sneak up. The Eagles are they 9-1? No way. Yeah, they're 6-2. They got it wrong. 6-2 are the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is not an MVP candidate. Nowhere close. That's ridiculous. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. I'm running out of steam. I need something to eat. I'm feeling better. You guys got me feeling better on the show here today. I had this terrible burrito yesterday. It's been a nightmare ever since. But we're doing what we got to do. It's about discipline. It's about showing up when you don't feel like it. And today's one of those days. And I thank you guys for helping me reinvigorate my shit right quick, baby boy. Let's get it popping. Let's send you guys into your evening here. And I wish you the best. And if you guys are watching and you're not subscribed, do that for me. It helps us. We're trying to hire people. We're trying to do the whole thing. So any little subscribe, like, anything helps. Appreciate y'all watching. And we will try and hop on Madden here soon. I got to run. I got to make some food. I got Pop Warner practice tonight. It's regional playoffs, so we're practicing three times this week. So tonight, instead of jujitsu, it's coaching. And I got to get fueled up. I haven't eaten all day. So, love you guys so much. Appreciate every single one of you that have popped in. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't. We come at you with daily football podcasts. I'm talking Monday through Friday around 6-ish Eastern. We're talking about everything. College football, pro football, consciousness, controversy. It's all here, baby. I was focused on baby. I ain't it's all here. So hit that sub, man. Got Madden streams too on here, man. Got to do more of those. But I love you guys, man. I love each and every one of you. Hit that sub, though. Hit that sub. All right, I'm out. They be like, girl, he might punch me. Not if you were real. Girls, they love me. They just think I mean they be like, girl, he might punch me. Girls, they.